Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real life store stage. All the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Get a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/work. Shopify.com/work.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
All right, guys, welcome back to the Rick Shields Golf Show podcast. Everybody, I'm your host, Rick Shields, episode 204. Guy, you're back. It's been a minute. It feels like it's actually been a long time.
It has been a long time. Nice to be back.
Since you were last on the podcast,
yeah,
Europe have won the Ryder Cup. Yeah. I don't know if you heard about this.
Did you watch it?
Didn't watch any of it. And then that's pretty much it.
Right, that's a great podcast. We'll see you next week for episode 205. What a pathetic. There's people sat in the car now who've waited all week for this podcast. They've sat literally at the phone looking at notifications. Nothing's come through. Finally, it's landed. It's here. The 204th episode of the Rick Shields Golf Show podcast, and that is what you give him.
Yeah. Feel a bit flat today at the moment. Yeah. I've had a coffee, actually, weirdly. But
I'm no kinda, steroids.
I'm off energy drinks.
Are you quit the steds?
I think the last 2 weeks have really taken out of me.
Oh, it's hard. It is hard, isn't it, going to the Ryder Cup and chilling in hospital. You were the prawn sandwich brigade, you were. I saw your stories up in the ivory tower looking down on everybody.
Yeah, it's great.
Yeah.
You know what we couldn't do, though?
Not really experienced that.
That was really annoying.
What?
Couldn't take glass on the balcony.
Oh, no.
I know. I was a bit frustrated about that. Every time you went to nip out on the balcony, you'd have to take your glass of champagne or, you know, vodka, sour, I was weirdly drinking, or beverage, whichever it was, and put it in a plastic.
Were you clicking the staff as well? Give them another drink. More!
No.
With a big, massive cigar.
Of course I wasn't.
Were you trying to poach any big names for 10-shot challenges?
I was poaching like you couldn't.
Like a poached egg.
I was definitely having conversations with certain people about getting certain pros onto the channel for 10-shot challenges. So
wow.
I was doing my best, utmost best. But either way, the Ryder Cup was phenomenal.
It was. No, it really was. I loved it.
Are you converted?
Yeah. You know what, right? I had a good thing about this. I've before, somewhat in jest and somewhat with a bit of seriousness, said that the Ryder Cup's overrated. I must admit, I changed my mind big time on the fact that whilst the Ryder Cup was on, I was absolutely engrossed. And for that couple of hours on the final day in particular, I was converted. It's the biggest and the best golf tournament in the world. And what I was really kind of proud of. No, and what I was really proud of.
That's really brave of you.
Thank you. I've had a kind of prime, so I'm feeling a bit loose. What I was really proud of, and I use the word proud as a golf fan, how much publicity it was getting. And even at one point on the Sky Sports app, it was just Ryder Cup, Ryder Cup, Ryder Cup. And I loved how I had mates texting me who aren't big golfers watching it. So all that was brilliant. The only then thing about the Ryder Cup that is a little bit like, is that after like 3 days, it's been and gone. And it kind of feels like that storyline just goes again. Whereas like if a football team wins the Premier League or the Champions League, whatever it might be, it feels like it gets spoken about for so much longer. But because there's only ever two winners, it's obviously Europe or USA, it quite quickly boils over. Mm. I don't know. However, I also must plug this. I listened to, I don't know if you have done or not, Max Homer on No Laying Up's podcast.
No, is it good?
It was honestly brilliant.
I think Max Homer came out of the whole thing.
He's a legend.
As the most likable USA player right now.
Yeah, absolutely. And he was absolutely adamant. The whole hat gate and the hat story was absolute nonsense, that there was no issue around that, that the guys were all friends. There's obviously some guys who are closer than others, and that Xander and Cantlay are very close, but there's no
animosity
and all this stuff about getting paid was apparently nonsense. And he came across really, really well. We've obviously spent a bit of time with him with things that you've done with him. And he, I was already a fan, but I'd say I'm even bigger of a fan now. And he took that energy from the thing where Brooks said about who would want that ball in that moment. He took that as motivation. He said he looked at himself almost in the mirror and was like, am I that guy? So when he had that put to beat Matt Fitzpatrick and keep the kind of hopes alive somewhat.
To not lose the Ryder
exactly,
Cup.
Exactly. He said that he was like, right, I've got to be the guy that wants the ball. So it was insightful.
I'll tell you what, you know what really opened my eyes? And the Ryder Cup again showed that. And obviously Ryder Cup's a couple of weeks old now. We're not going to kind of keep talking about it. But obviously the first time me and Guy have spoke about it on the podcast is when Dave Sampson came in a few weeks ago, the course architect, which by the way, I was incredibly proud of for the whole Ryder Cup. Yeah. Like I felt like because we'd really got to know him over the last few weeks and months, like I felt nervous for him. Like, I really wanted the Ryder Cup and Marco Simone to do well because of him. He mentioned the podcast a few weeks ago that the Ryder Cup is the third biggest sports event in the world.
Yeah.
And didn't it prove it?
It absolutely like, did.
It really is. It captivates every single corner of the globe. Even though weirdly it's USA versus Europe, I'm pretty confident that Australian fans are glued to it. I'm pretty confident that Asian fans are glued to it because it's such an incredible event. And then, coming off the back of it, I'm sure you experienced it as well, but I had loads of mates of mine who just not that into golf, kind of borderline sports fans, who were messaging me just loving the Ryder Cup. And instantly, like, it gets put into so many people's front living rooms, on TV, on the news. Like my wife, obviously I was at the Ryder Cup, my wife was at home. She was saying, oh, the clips on the news looked incredible. Mm-hmm. You don't get that from any other golf event.
Do you think there's something about, and fitting, I'm going to talk about Rome and the Colosseum, etc. There's something quite in our nature, in our DNA, rightly or wrongly, quite animalistic about like combat and fighting, isn't there? And not that fighting's a good thing, clearly, but like even I think we see that in boxing and MMA, and people want to see who's going to win in one-on-one combat. Now, obviously, golf and certainly the Ryder Cup is not one-on-one combat.
It could have been
a few times.
Could
have been. Rory had a good go. But that kind of in that, like, certainly that amphitheater that they create there and that 1v1 on the Sunday, there's something in it, but it is so exciting that this quite simple. One guy's hitting a white little golf ball to a hole. The other guy's trying to do it in less shots. Whoever wins the match, and they've got the country or the continent's weight on the shoulders. It is simple, but yet so exciting. And I think that's what you don't really get with 4 days of stroke play on a Thursday afternoon in a wet, you know, whether it be Scotland or wherever it could be. It's not quite as, I don't know, it's not quite as exciting, is it?
No, I mean, to be honest, I remember, again, Celtic Manor back in 2010 when it was wet and horrible and cold. The golf, that combat, one versus one, two versus two, whatever it may be, still shines through regardless of the weather. Yeah. It was an amazing event. I honestly absolutely loved it. I genuinely, like, I'm desperate for 2025 to come around at Bethpage. I will be going. That's my kind of commitment to myself. I think it's going to be crazy. I think it's going to be so much more ruckus. When you talk about combat and fighting, I'm worried about the tension of it all, because I feel like this year really sparked the fuse, this kind of new wave of players, and they've just literally sparked the fuse, and it's almost like a ticking time bomb now for 2 years all the way to the Ryder Cup in 2025.
I would love to see you attend the Ryder Cup next time in America as a Ryder Cup ultra. So go in a Stone Island jacket, start maybe going to the gym a little bit, get a few tattoos and turn up with the boys, with the firm.
I like it.
Yeah.
I'm all over it.
Really cause some drama.
Me and the guardians of the, what they call them.
Did you meet
now?
Those guys?
Yeah. Guardians of the cup.
Yeah. Well,
they're really
like,
nice.
Yeah.
Really, really nice actually.
Yeah.
They were sat on the first day, they were sat right behind me about three or four rows back. And one of them shouted, Rick. And I was turning around and they were like, give about, let's say seven of them or whatever, three or four of them were dead chatty and really nice. And the other guys, I'm not sure how big a golf fans they are, whether they're more just kind of...
Just pure banter men.
Just more, yeah, about the dressing up and singing. Yeah.
you know what? I'm going to be honest though. I'm all for going to the Ryder Cup and having a good time. Never been to one. I need to go to one. It looks amazing. And you've told me it was amazing. I don't quite get the middle-aged... No,
you
but dressing up. No, I don't think I would.
I want the Fridays of Ryder Cup to be fancy dress Fridays.
for that reason, I'm out.
No, I think it would be absolutely bonkers. No,
I don't like fancy dress.
You don't have to, you can just go as you from the podcast.
It's like when it was primary school and it was a World Book Day. It's like, I don't want to dress up, Mum. Right, well, go as James from James and the Giant Peach. Go in your own clothes. What have you come as? James from the James and the Giant Peach book.
I used to go as like the Match magazine.
Yeah,
like
just in my football kit. I've come as Michael Owen.
Michael Owen of all the people. Yeah, so awesome event. But yeah, like I say, it feels like it's gone. It's been and gone
been
now.
Been and gone, old news.
It is old news. But not a lot has happened in the golfing world since, really. The only thing that came out last night, I don't know if you saw it on Instagram, he's back.
Tiger Woods.
He is back. There was clips of him at his foundation day, like a junior golf foundation day, an invitational. He was hitting golf shots.
In FootJoy shoes.
Again.
I understand there's a story behind Tiger Woods wearing FootJoys because they apparently helped him because they were flatter or something. How have Nike not developed a shoe in the last 18 months or so that he can wear?
Are they bothered if they've got the swoop on his but actually he didn't even have a Nike cap on. He had a Raiders hat on.
Wow. They must be, yeah, but even so, like, how can they not do that? How can they not just go, right, we'll just make an absolute carbon copy of a FootJoy and we'll put a swoosh on the side just so we can wear them at least?
Yeah, to some degree, I reckon they've probably done some market research and they've gone out to, I don't know, 10,000 people, what shoes the Tiger Woods currently wearing, and 98% of them will say Nikes because that's what they presume he's wearing.
Well,
I still don't think the mass markets even realise that he's wearing FootJoys. Obviously, as golf geeks, we do. But he was there, he was hitting golf shots, albeit wedges currently. His upper body looks massive and get like so strong. His lower body does look kind of very fragile and slim at the moment, so he needs to bulk that out. But there's rumours that he's hitting shots. You know, obviously the parent and son or parent daughter event typically happens in December time in Orlando. It'd be interesting to see if he's teeing it back up there with Charlie.
Why is it parent daughter event?
Parent son, parent daughter.
Oh, don't say sorry. Both then. Yeah, sorry, you said parent son, and I thought you corrected yourself. Say parent daughter.
No,
you
mean, sorry,
right, parent and child event. Parent yeah, child I'm with event. You. Sorry,
coming up very soon in December. It'll be interesting to see what happens there. Whether he's teeing it back up with Charlie, albeit like I say, it's a bit of an exhibition event, but. Something still gives me goosebumps, Guy. I know we spoke about it recently. And yes, he wasn't missed at the Ryder Cup this year. He wasn't. He's never really been a real hardcore Ryder Cup player. But for me, when I see him and it's like, oh, I do get goosebumps. I do want to see him back.
Absolutely, and as do I. I want to see him come back. I'd love to see him win again. I'd love to see him win another major again. I think most people would. That'll be a dream come true. But what I don't want to see is him come back and be in pain again and be injured and miss cuts, because that's not how you want. Not that it would tarnish his legacy. His legacy's there regardless. But I don't know. If he did come back and say, you know what, I can't do it anymore. I am going to hang up my clubs at the Masters or an Open Championship or something. I'd actually be a lot more ready for it now than I ever thought I would be.
Yeah.
I dreaded the day and I still don't look forward to the day. But
it's almost
okay with it.
It's inevitability now. Inevitability.
It's inevitable.
You almost had it then.
Inevitability?
Yeah.
Is that actually a word though?
Yeah.
Is it?
Well, if not, I've just made one up.
Yeah. Wouldn't be the first time.
And my daughter, bless her, the other day was doing some spelling and she came up with a word. It was like boardingly, right?
Yeah.
And I said to Claire, I said, look at this word that she's come up with, boardingly. Like, what's she on about? And she looked at me and went, are you actually joking? She went, you come up with made up names all the bloody time. Yeah. It's not only on the podcast, because yeah, she knows my rickisms on the podcast.
I heard you just damp squid the other day.
Is that what it is?
No, it's damp squib.
No, it's not.
It is. A damp, because squids are damp anyway, aren't they? A damp squib is the...
What's a squib?
Apparently a squib is something you used to use to light explosives back in the day or something. So if it was damp, it wouldn't light. So that was why it's a damp squib, not a damp squid.
Wow. I say a lot.
You do say a lot.
I say a lot of different wrong terms.
You do that, and I also think one thing you do, and this is quite common, if you hear a new word, a buzzword, you like to then use it if you like it.
Like, otherwise it doesn't become a buzzword.
Correct. You like the buzzwords? Hit me with a buzzword that you like.
Oh, I don't know.
I think you like saying the golf space. I think you heard that.
What?
Yeah, you say that a lot. Maybe not on the podcast.
Within the golf space?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Said it then, perfectly, like exactly how you always say it.
I don't actually know. Maybe I do. I don't know.
But Yeah. No, the only reason I saw the podcast last week with Sophie Walker, and there's a lot of comments about damp squid.
Squid. Damp squib. Squid. I thought it was damp squid.
Yeah.
It's not. Damp squid. Squid?
It's squib.
Squib. That doesn't make any sense. It anyway. Does.
Good. What would a damp squid mean? Because I said it was damp fish. Well, that's not, is that bad though? I'm gonna look, let me get the, I'm gonna go on YouTube now while we're doing this.
I want to see.
So I'm gonna go on the podcast channel, and if you're one of those people last week who called Rick out for his Rickism, feel free to do it more and more. It's
it is.
We like to be corrected when we're wrong, which is quite often. So if I'm gonna search for damp squid,
oh my god, I got so many wrong.
Is that because you hear them wrong?
You know what I'm really good at? No, because I don't really pay attention. You're on the phone to somebody.
Yeah.
And it's like, so what's your surname? Oh, so it's Shields. How's that spelled? S for sock.
S for sex.
H for helicopter.
I for igloo.
I for igloo, is it not?
No, indigo, isn't it?
All right. Oh, my God.
Rick's like, shop, house, igloo, elephant,
Lilo,
and then
squid.
Sugar.
Is squid.
Squid. Yeah, there's lots of comments about damp squid.
Okay.
So people say some classic Rickisms in this one.
This is what people listen for, Rickisms. So yeah, anyway, Tiger's back, and who knows if it's going to be success.
Or a damp squid.
Or a damp squid.
Yeah. One of the two. I'm also back. I played golf yesterday, which I want to come on to. Let's not ask how, I'll tell you how I played. Absolutely horrendous.
Really?
Yeah.
Why?
Because I'm not very good at golf. I finally realised. So yesterday I played in an amazing event, which I just want to come on to and shed some light on because it's for a really good cause. You were obviously invited, you know that, but just for the audience, Rick was invited as well. Couldn't make it because you had other plans. You were away in Germany, which you might touch on as well. And you had the Ryder Cup. So another day out from the family was not really feasible for you. I, however, could go. And it was James Maddison, who is a footballer for Tottenham Hotspur and for England, had his Maddison Invitational Golf Day. James watches a lot of the videos, which is great. He loves the videos. So we got in touch. I was like, do you and Rick want to come down to this event? I was like, well, Rick can't make it. I'd love to come if the invite's still there. I don't know if I was kind of your plus one. He's like, nope, you're absolutely still invited. So it was great. And it was at the Shire, a place we've been to before many a time. And it was to raise money for a little girl who very tragically passed away in 2019 called Sophie Taylor. She was only 5 years old. She had cancer. And she was a big fan of James. I think when he was at Norwich or Leicester or maybe, well, both, I'm sure. I don't know where it stemmed from. And her family became very close to James. And he's done a lot to raise money for her charity, which is called Sophie Sparkle Fund. And the golf day was essentially an aid of raising money for this charity to go on and help to find, you know, hopefully cures for cancer and help more children out. And it was quite heartbreaking. You know, Sophie's family were there and they gave a speech at the end of the day. And it was really kind of heartwarming and sad, really, but it was great to be a part of the day. And just, I mean, we've asked before, obviously Rick's done some amazing stuff for charity beforehand many a time, and we've asked for people to donate, and thankfully so many of this amazing listeners and viewers of the channel do donate. And obviously times are tough economically for a lot of people, but if you would like to donate anything for the charity, we'll leave a link in the description of the podcast, and maybe as a pinned comment on YouTube, and even if it's just £2 pint, you know, what want to buy us a pint for the podcast. We don't charge for the podcast, obviously. If you want to give us what would be cost a pint and donate, we'd massively appreciate that. But anyway, it was an amazing day. There was some really big names there. Michael McIntyre, the comedian, played. He also fell into the water.
I didn't even
know
he played golf.
I don't know how long he's been playing golf.
He
fell into water. He hit a shot kind of where it wasn't really in the water, but his kind of feet kind of were. And then he hit it, kind of slipped a little bit, and then completely fell into water.
Of course he did. Comedy gold.
It was unique. Stephen Graham was there.
Nice.
Very, very well-known actor. And then there's just loads of people from the world of football. You obviously had James Maddison, clearly. You had Harry Maguire, Jordan Pickford. John Terry was there. Jamie Redknapp, Peter Crouch. Who else was there? Jermaine Janus was there.
Jack Wiltshire.
I played with Jack Wiltshire. He was a great guy, watched the videos. Mason Mount was there. He came up to me, watched the videos. So many of these people watched the videos, which was great to see. It was a four-man team.
Yeah.
Stableford, best two scores from four.
Okay. Okay. It's a nice format.
Nice format, friendly format. I was with me and Jack Wilshire, and I was with a guy called Max and a guy called Charlie. And I think I was off four, which I put down as my handicap. I don't, I have to come to the terms of the fact now. I don't think it's four.
Really. It is.
I don't know.
It can is be four. Do you want a good day? Like, that's
correct,
the whole thing.
But I don't have many good days. That's the problem. I think Jack was off 16, Charlie was off 12, and then the other guy, Max, off 18. So I thought, on paper, we've got a great level of handicaps here because we're getting good amount of shots, but there's going to be a few little bandits and some good holes. There wasn't many good holes. And there was a rule that I absolutely loved, where if you lose a ball out of bounds or anything, you just laterally drop it with only one shot penalty.
Perfect.
So it was like quite quick. Let's get the pace of play up, etc. We also had a digital scoring system. So at the end of the hole, one of Jack's mates walked around with it. Well, got in the buggy with us. He was putting the scores in. After 14 holes, I was playing horrendous. I found out that only was there a team scoreboard. There was an individual scoreboard. There was 18 teams and four people in the teams, right?
So shotgun starter, everyone
no,
off the
actually
first.
Wasn't everyone off the first, bizarrely. So there was 72 people playing, if my maths is correct. After 14 holes, like coming 60-something, I was like, oh my word, like this is embarrassing. I thought, nobody will look though, nobody be bothered. So anyway, it doesn't matter. So carried on playing. Got to, I think it was the 16th hole, and I'm looking over, and obviously I'm quite starstruck. A lot of, you know, and big names are there, and I feel a bit out of place, but everyone was really nice. Everyone was lovely. I didn't quite have the money to flex that the guys do at the auction, etc., but I was there. Next thing I'm looking, Harry Maguire and Jordan Pickford are there. And I think it was Harry Maguire's brother as well. So kind of, oh, that's quite cool. You know, England footballer, Man United captain, isn't he?
He was.
Was. Shouts over, Guy. Oh, this is weird. All right, mate. So I walked over, kind of handshakes. You know, I'm trying to play it cool. You're not playing very well, are you? I was like, oh, no. I was like, no, I'm not. But we're looking for you on the scoreboard. I'm like, literally at this point, like right at the near the bottom. I'm like, oh yeah, not my day. So anyway, kind of had a bit of thing. Walked, felt quite good about myself. You know, these guys watched the videos, they were very complimentary about the videos, asking where you were, etc. Gets the next tee. I don't know if they were looking or not, but they could still kind of see us. I topped it into a water hazard. And that was how my day went. Lost golf balls after lost golf balls after lost golf balls. But it was fun. The greens were insanely fast.
See, right, you represented the brand how we should represent the brand.
Horrendous golf. And exactly. I felt a level of pressure. These footballers have absolutely gone on to win things at, you know, super high level or whatever. They've played for the country. Michael McIntyre's there, one of the UK's biggest comedians. I'm there as a guy sometimes featured on your YouTube videos, Rick's mate. At least my thing is golf. So there's some level of pressure and I was just absolutely rubbish.
Oh,
but
no.
It was a very good day. And at the end of the day, there was a raffle and there was auctions and stuff. And at that point, it was my time to leave because I didn't really want to start trying to get involved.
It's a good job I wasn't after
you were
a few
there,
bits.
Well, if I was the thing is the difference. If you were there, with I could have been like on the business card, right, we'll have that. Mo Salah shirt, we'll have it. Bring it. But instead, I was very reserved. I had the excuse of, oh, I've got to go home now. It's a 3-hour drive home. So about 7 o'clock I left. But it was a great day. It was great to see so many of these guys.
Was it a late one, do you reckon?
For them, yeah. It was getting messy. It was, yeah, it was messy. But there was some friends of the channel were there. So Dan Grieve was there, short game coach. He was there. Ollie Phelps from Harry Potter, that's been on the channel, was there. So chatting to Ollie quite a bit. Gaz from Geordie Shore was there, doing some good stuff on YouTube as well. Tubes and Ange were there. So it was really cool. And it was like the most important thing of the day. It was great to raise money and awareness for Sophie Sparkle Fund. And it was also really good to see how much golf is changing and golf's becoming
really
cooler.
Has.
It does have Premier League footballers at the prime of the career who are playing golf and loving golf and
loving golf more than football sometimes as well.
I actually reckon they do.
I've spent a bit of time with some of the cricket guys recently over in Rome for the first time. We went over to Marco Simone. These guys love golf borderline more than they love their actual sport that they play professionally. They paid a lot of money. Golf is becoming that big. It's crazy.
Well, that's the thing. And we've said this before on the podcast, but you know, we started playing a very, very similar time and golf was never cool. Tiger started to help that. But even then on the, you know, without the social media and stuff back then, growing up, golf wasn't a cool sport to play. And it was all about football or rugby or whatever. I think now if you are a young kid and you support Tottenham or you support England and you're on social media looking at Madison, who's hosting a golf day and loving golf, and you're going to think, maybe I'll try that. If my granddad asked me to go to the range, then I won't I won't shrug my shoulders and whinge. I'll go along and whack a golf ball. And
well, even just for argument's sake, like the Shire, I really like the Shire a lot. It's a very challenging golf course. Designed by Seve Ballesteros. I think the only golf course he designed in England. The last hole has a huge S-shaped pond around the 18th green, which is amazing. Kerry, a good friend of mine, owns the venue, who I ran the London Marathon for last year, because unfortunately he lost his little boy to cancer. And Obviously, I'm guessing there would have been some connection there with Sophie's charity as well, which I'm actually running the marathon again next year.
You're a madman.
200 days away. Kerry weirdly texted me today. But what I like about that place is, like, it's very relaxed. I'm sure there was music playing.
Oh, yeah.
Like, dress code is very relaxed. And going back to that point of young lads or young girls going, oh, it's a fancy bit of golf. And they go, no way, the Shire. That's where James had his golf day. Maybe I could see him. Like, and suddenly they go down to the driving range and whack some balls with the idea that they might stumble across one of their favourite footballers, etc. But yeah, it is becoming so, so much cooler. It really is. As you mentioned, as you were doing that, thanks for going, for representing the brand and doing what I'm proud of you doing.
Thank you.
Coming almost dead last.
Yes.
Which I would have done the same. You would have probably beat me.
Would you say I was there as the face of the brand? Is that what you just said a minute ago? Would you agree with that?
Yeah.
Okay. Can I expense my fuel, please?
And by the way, Rick, I did buy that most solid shirt.
Yeah, £400, 400 miles it was. Yeah, call it 400 quid. Call it 400 quid and we're quits. Pay me to go to a charity golf day with footballers, Rick. Come on.
Wow. We'll talk about that off air. I was, unfortunately, I couldn't go to that day. I was gutted because I was following it quite closely on Instagram and thinking, I'd have loved to have been there. Because for me, like, meeting people like Michael McIntyre, honestly, I've watched Michael McIntyre for years. He's one of, honestly, the funniest people on the planet. And to see him in that setting playing golf would have been hilarious. I'd have loved to be in his group. But like I say, all the footballers and stuff as well. But I couldn't go, unfortunately, like I said, because last week I was in Germany. First time playing golf ever in Germany. And what a bloody experience.
Was it good?
Honestly, there was this venue. I'd love to take you to it. Sounds a bit weird.
Just me and you.
I'm going to get the pronunciation wrong here, though. Oosterberghof Golf Club.
Come on, is your mic on, Matt? No.
Give us the first bit. Oosterberghof. Yeah. Oosterberghof. This was a golf club. Two golf courses there. The old course, funny enough, and the west course. Beautiful hotel, spa, practice ground was out of this world. And I'm not sure, did you see this, Matt? I'm not sure if there might have been some sort of connection with Martin Keimer.
He's German.
No, I'm not sure if he might have practiced there, played there or something, because one of the ball markers that I got given as a gift, it had kind of the name of the golf course and this and that, it had Martin Keimer on the bottom. So anyway, it was an amazing event. I went over there for the Mercedes Trophy World Final, got to go and to see the Mercedes factory, which is ridiculous. Got to go and see the Mercedes Museum. We did a podcast with Seb Carmichael Brown, which will be coming to the channel soon. And also got to do a break 75, first time ever playing golf in Germany.
How did it go? Give me some little hints, tips.
I'm going to give you a couple of hints and tips. I don't know if I struck the ball better for a very, very long time.
Wow.
There's a few videos, everybody, coming out in the next few weeks, which I'm cannot wait to go out. And I think you guys watching are going to really, really enjoy. There is light at the end of the tunnel.
It's been a long tunnel.
It's been a bloody dark times, everybody.
And the light's small. It's a candle.
It's there,
it's
though.
There. It's absolutely light. It's there. It's absolutely it's
there.
Light.
Somewhere down that dark tunnel, there is a little shining light. And there's a couple of videos coming out soon. Me versus Grant, which is a match coming out next week. You're going to want to watch every single second of every single bit of that video. And then break 75 with Seb at in Germany. Seb played really well as well. But give you a little sparkle, okay? Mm-hmm. A little hint. I struck it magnificently.
And you think you're going to say putted bad?
I made the stupidest double bogey in the world on the first. But after that, In fact, after the first four holes, just if you're going to watch the Break 75 in Germany, watch the first four holes going, oh, it's classic Ricky Shields, yeah. Chopping it up, playing crap. And then from the fifth,
strap yourself in.
You just watch.
Just put your seatbelt
you
on.
You just watch, because there is some bloody good golf played. I'll put a little last tip.
What?
There's a ridiculous amount of birdie sauce.
Oof.
There's almost as much birdie sauce than you'd see in a scramble video.
Wow.
That's how much birdie sauce there is.
Well, speaking of birdie sauce and scramble videos and you playing well, you kind of alluded to it then. This week, we have got a busy week of content coming out. So we've got, I think today, which will actually be yesterday when people listen to this, we have got quite a different video for the channel. Again, people might have seen it by now, the unboxing video. So you have lots and lots of golf clubs getting sent to us all the time, many of which we haven't unboxed and had the time to do all the videos. So we went a bit crazy in the hit studio. It was like Santa emptied his sack in the studio. Children listen to this, Rick, so hold that there. And you had a look what was in his sack.
Jesus Christ.
What? And reviewed, no, I wouldn't say reviewed, but had a bit of a play, hit a few clubs, talked about a few bits. It was fun.
Yeah, a really good video where it was kind of like, it was almost mystery boxes. Yeah. Like, I didn't really even know what was in them. And to be able to kind of find a few little nuggets, which actually we might turn into bigger, fuller reviews, some for the main channel.
There was one club.
Some for the hit channel. So that's really cool. On Wednesday, we have got a match.
That was Break 60.
Oh yeah, Break 60, where it's you, me and Grant at the Belfry, one of the hardest golf courses in the world. How could the three of us gel together to play some really good?
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Get a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/work. Shopify.com/work.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Good golf.
That was actually really fun.
There was a lot of really good golf in there.
There was. I think those videos are so fun because you're seeing a great golf course. It was in great condition and the vibes were good. So that's a good one to come. And then is it Friday? I then believe it's the fun stops and the rivalry starts.
Is that Friday?
Let me double check.
I don't think it is.
Okay, let me double check.
We've got three videos coming out this week.
Is it Friday?
No, Friday is the Grant versus...
Oh, Grant versus James Robinson. That's even, not more exciting, Rick, but exciting.
Yeah.
So
So James Robinson, friend of ours, who's ex-Tour Pro, played in the Open Championship.
You be team James, I'll be team Grant, and I'll big him up.
He is one of the best ball strikers in the world. And his channel average views are astronomical. Mm. Like he's probably been on maybe 10 videos, let's call it. Pretty much, he doesn't miss. Almost every video that James has been in has gone over 1 million views. He doesn't now play on tour, unfortunately. He wanted to hang up his golf boots, so to speak. Golf
spikes.
Shoes.
Spikes. Love.
That's going to do like a real stupid Rickism again.
What were you to say?
Like, I don't know, just like hang up his tees or something. Oh, anyway, he now is a teaching professional. He's doing really well at St. Anne's Old Links. But James, every now and again, we pull him out of that teaching studio, and his silky, smooth, incredible technique is just flawless in every capacity. In fact, I think recently, since he's been on more videos, I do think he's sneaky practice. He's got a lot longer as well.
He's got longer.
He is definitely hitting the golf ball further. And so we thought it'd be a good matchup. Him versus Mr.
My man, Grant Horvat, part of Team GG, Grant and Guy. He's my partner.
I think he's left. Good, good.
He's in Guy's group now. And I hear what you're saying. James is a great golfer. On Friday at 4 p.m., it gets settled. Can your guy, James Robinson, beat my guy, Grant Horvat? Arguably, if not definitely, one of the best golf swings on YouTube. It's elegant. He's tall, he's slender, sneaky long, gets ball speed. The way he smiles is enough for me. He's got these big white pearly teeth.
He's a smiling assassin.
He's got the look of a real tour pro. He's elite. He's a scratch golfer. He can play golf under pressure with cameras. He's used to it. He's been on some of the biggest videos in the world. He obviously was a member of Good Good. He took the plunge and he went on his own. He's a tailor-made athlete. He is, I'm running out of things to say now, but it's a great match. It's a very, very, very good match.
So that's coming out on Friday at Wallasey.
Yes.
So stay tuned for that. It's kind of one where I host and kind of present almost, but the action really is between Grant and James. And then next week, it's Grant versus, or Rick versus Grant.
I believe that's going to be on a Friday, the 20th.
If that's not the biggest video of 2023, I will eat my hat.
Will you?
Yes.
You know, that's it's not, it's eat my cat. Eating your hat, what does that even mean? Eat my cat. How could someone eat a hat?
Oh god. You are busting my bats, you are. I'm trying to think of what. Busting my holes. Either way, yes, that is epic, epic, epic content coming up left, right, and center.
But before some of that content, in fact, after some of that content, but before some of that content, doesn't make sense. But this Friday, the 13th of October, is the live podcast. I'm excited. 250 people are going to come to the Marriott Worsley Park for the live podcast. Obviously, many of you can't come, clearly. We're not going to record it this time. It's a bit more impromptu. It's a bit more like of a sit down. You might have a couple of shandies.
I'm actually off drinking.
Okay.
Yeah.
Just loads of cigs then.
I'm actually...
Six vapes. A vape in each hand?
No, I don't vape. I don't smoke. I don't drink. I'm going clean for a little bit.
Nice. So when you say you don't drink, you didn't obviously drink in Germany?
No, yeah, I did drink in Germany. Okay. After Germany.
Oh, okay. So then did it start today or did it start yesterday? Because yesterday was Sunday, first day back at the house.
I didn't have a drink Saturday or Sunday.
Wow.
So from Saturday, the 7th of October, I am now...
B total.
A recovering alcoholic. I'm going to have a period of time of no drinking, getting health up. Because I've got a few big matches and videos coming in November and December. I want to be so unbelievably tuned in for that it starts now.
So, okay, so you won't be drinking at the live podcast. I'll believe that when I see it. But anyway, that's on Friday. If you are coming, we can't wait to see you there. It starts at 7 o'clock, probably gone for an hour and a half or so. Very chilled out vibe. I'm excited.
Yeah, and you can buy me a pint after.
Yeah, of water. That's cheap anyway, isn't it? I don't see how many pints of cordial you can have.
What's happening? Is the golf day full?
So, that's a good question. Let me just double check. Yeah, there is a golf.
Marriott Worsley Park, nice, very kindly decided to organise a golf day for spectators and, to be honest, non-spectators of the podcast, the live podcast happening on Friday, which camera have you switched to here, Matt? Bloody hell, where are you going? Go to this one. Thank you. and they are putting on the golf day. There'll be some fun prizes, et cetera, et cetera.
There
is still time to sign up. So if you are coming on Friday and you want to play the Marriott Worsley Park, the famous Marriott Worsley Park, link in the description.
Or if you're not coming to the day.
That's what I'm saying. If you're not coming to the day or you are coming to the day, whichever way it is, there's a golf day happening on Friday. Get signed up and enjoy the beautiful benefits of the Marriott Worsley Park.
So let me just give a bit more detail about that. It is Friday, you're correct. It's a shotgun start at 11 a.m. There's space for 92 players. It's individual Stableford, 95% of your handicap. There's prizes for first, second and third. There's nearest the pin on all the par threes, longest drive in 18, the perfect long drive hole. It's £65 per person. And that's a £10 donation to Rick's Chosen Charity, which is nice. And you'll also get tea, coffee, and a bacon roll on arrival. So not bad considering you're getting a green fee, access to all those prizes, and some money going to charity, playing the Marriott Worsley Park. Get involved.
It's going to be a good day. And then after that, I feel like it's a bit of a chill time. It's been so manic and crazy recently, but we've got a little bit more of a chilled October until it starts to go crazy again in November. And we're going to also film, like Guy mentioned before, some of the incredible, interesting clubs I found in that unboxing. We're going to get on the golf course and test a few of those as well. Mm. And as from Germany, and the game's trending as well, I think we need to go and film some new Break 75s.
Yeah, nice. Yeah.
I've gone off them. I had.
Oh, wow.
Because I was shooting 95. But now, that tiny little light at the end of the tunnel, I can see it if I look really closely. Definitely showing.
Well, I've got a goal. So the other day, I went to Centre Parks for a week, which is why I wasn't in work, missed the podcast, etc.
You weren't in work last week.
Still bloody working at Centre Parks on my phone, getting mithered. I didn't get mithered. And I did spend a lot of the time, which was pleasant, walking my baby daughter around in the pram, getting to sleep. Just fun. But then when she did get to sleep, I'd sit down somewhere, put a podcast on, watch YouTube. It was bliss. And I decided to do a little Q&A on Instagram. And I actually got quite a lot of questions I was quite surprised about. One of them was, I don't know if you saw the response, but do you ever beat Rick, or how often does Rick beat you or something? And I thought, you know what? I won't respond with a silly answer. I'll put something serious. I'll put something like, annoyingly, I said, Rick wins most of the time, but sometimes I have his number, etc. So I'm going to train and I want to put this to bed. I want to have your actual match. Okay. Proper 18 holes match play. Marco Simone was a warm-up, yeah, blah, 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 whatever. This is going to be a serious match. I'm going to practice. You can do all your practicing and you're not drinking, etc. And whoever wins is the best golfer. And that's it. That is absolutely it.
Whatever, yeah, okay. When, set a date.
December.
Okay.
I don't know the actual day in December, but December.
Okay.
And champion golfer of the year is crowned. And I actually want a crown as well. Because
you say you want to get a crown for the eventual winner.
Which will be me.
And you want to do match play?
I want to do match play.
Not stroke play?
Not stroke play.
Why do you not want to do stroke play?
Because I've got a massive blow-up hole in me. I will do stroke play if you're scared, but I'm just getting the impression that you're scared. That's the vibe I'm getting. It might be hard to tell if you're listening. Maybe not as hard if you're watching, but I'm getting this energy that you're scared.
Why are you sweating?
I'm not sweating.
Match play or stroke play?
What do you want to do?
I'm very interested why you're pushing match play more.
Because you know that I'll get a 12 on one hole, in which case stroke plays are out irrelevant. What'll happen is, if I do stroke play, I'll start off par, par, birdie, birdie, 12, 8, 7.
I actually think you'd start with a 12.
Yeah, exactly. So,
okay.
It'll give me something to train for, and it'll give you something to train for.
I need that as well. I do.
And you know, if you beat me, then that's fair enough. I'll shake your hand. If I beat you, oh, it's going to be good. It's going to be glorious.
So that's it. So I just get a handshake. I get a handshake and you get glorious and all this.
But the thing is, though, I can be at the range. It's like a movie. You can imagine now it's raining and they're grinding. You've got this goal of beating you. That's what's giving me the energy. You can't let me win. If I win, I will take to the grave. I'm going to have a trophy there, crown, maybe a tattoo. Maybe you have to get a tattoo.
All these RSs will turn into GCs.
Absolutely. So that's your motivation to carry it. Not only are you playing with potentially some of these big names we want to talk about just yet in November and December, you can lose to them, whatever. If you lose to me...
And how many shots do you want? Honestly, the way my game's going at the moment, and I'm showing so much outrageous potential that, not a problem at all.
Okay,
I'm guessing it's going to have to be links, or are we going away for it?
Dubai. Well, you're already taking me to Germany, so we can do it there. Dubai, links. I'll let you pick. I've put them out.
We're potentially going to Dubai in December.
Okay. Yeah, fine, Dubai. Yep.
I like it. Let's do it.
Right then, before we wrap this up, we've got some questions from our wonderful Facebook audience. And also, before we come on to them, actually, I want to give a shout out and a thank you to everybody who has recently reviewed the podcast. We asked, we don't ask a lot. We asked the last couple of podcasts if people wanted to give us a rating on Apple, and people did just that, which is great to see. So if you've not done that yet and you want to, feel free. We really appreciate it. And that's your way of paying for this podcast that we say is free a lot of the time. It's very, very, it's free.
It's very, very free.
We can't give it away, essentially, is what I'm trying to say.
We'll be paying you guys soon.
Yeah, we would. So we've had some questions on Facebook. If you're not a member of the Facebook group yet, please join us.
Have we actually got over 100,000 now?
Nearly, annoyingly, it's very
close.
How has
it not actually got to 100,000 yet?
It's on 99.8.
You're joking. Means we need 200 people?
I think so, yeah. Yeah, it might even be less. Might be
doesn't seem like a lot.
It's not.
Groups.
Less than 300.
Oh, that's really, wow. Okay, very good. Get involved in the Facebook group.
If you are in the Facebook group, you often be the first to know about things. If you don't use Facebook, feel free to make a burner account and join us. But anyway, we've had some great questions off the Facebook page. So Tom Golden, hi Tom, he has said, is it right for a club to charge a full 12-month membership when the drainage is so bad it can't be played 4 months of the year?
Ouch.
I'm guessing he's talking about his own golf club because it feels like a bit of venom in that.
Just a bit. It's hard, isn't it?
Mm.
Because if they didn't charge 12 months, then the drainage would get worse.
Correct.
Like, if they only charge for 6 months, well then I'm pretty sure the drainage would probably only last for 6 months.
Yeah.
It's really hard. It's unfortunately... Where we are in the UK, certain golf courses do get very, very wet. And we've had some horrendously wet weather this last week or so. Even you look at St Andrews and the Dunhill Championship this weekend that got called. I think it's now been officially shortened to 3 days, finishing today when we're recording this podcast. I don't know what the answer is, but is it fair? It's probably not. If they don't charge it, the course will probably shut down.
Do you think, though, as well, he's almost answered his question in a sense, potentially. I'm guessing he still is a member of the golf club, hence why he's asking about this predicament. But when you actually just finally decide that something, whatever that something may be, is not value for money, you would leave it. So, for example, the analogy I'm going to use, my gym, I won't name which gym it is. I don't go very often, as you can probably tell. But when I do go, its standards have slipped. The showers aren't as good. The food's not as good. The service isn't as good. Lots of things I'm not super impressed with. And I keep thinking about cancelling. Costs 60 quid a month. I want to cancel it. But I've not done. Because it's kind of like, well, I'm saying bad things about it. It can't be that bad, or else I would have cancelled it and moved to another gym. So I suppose that once it becomes that point, we say, no, I've had enough of this. I'm leaving. That's the point. So if he's not cancelled it yet, he must still be prepared to pay it. Mm. You with me? I don't know.
No, I totally get it.
Lewis Parks, what is the best freebie that Rick has ever received?
Wow. Best freebie. God, what could it?
For me, it would be a green fee at Augusta. It must be your best freebie.
Oh yeah, that was a pretty decent one.
that Muni pitch and putt.
No, you know, obviously the invitation to play Augusta National was pretty incredible. I'm very, 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 very fortunate. But is it? Are these things freebies, or are they earned?
Wow,
I feel like they're earned.
Okay, fair dues.
There's nothing free in life. That's what I've learned.
Yeah,
that's for sure.
Neil Worsfold, and it's a good question actually. This, are driving ranges becoming slightly overpriced?
Yeah, some are. I've definitely noticed a trend of driving ranges. However, to combat that, I also think driving ranges have become incredibly better.
Yeah.
A lot of driving ranges now incorporate top tracer technology. In the past, you'd have to pay for top tracer technology. Now a lot of driving ranges are realizing to incorporate it into the price, they've raised the price up of the normal 100 golf balls, 150, 75 golf balls, whatever. But now you get top tracer for free. And it is improved and heightened the experience of practicing.
Yeah.
So yeah, there is that does come with more cost.
Yeah, you know what? It's a very good question. And for example, if we use, you know, Trafford Golf Centre, which is obviously somewhere we go to a lot and, you know, we're great advocates of and great fans, I can understand to some degree why people might say it's expensive, but I want to flip it. So for example, a non-peak at Trafford, and again, you could use any range as an example. I'm using Trafford because I think a lot of the place, 40 golf balls, including top tracers, you get top tracers, is £8, right? So that compared to what 40 balls would have been 5 or 10 years ago is a lot more, isn't it? You could argue it's double the price. However, first, like you've said, you're getting top tracer, which is adds so much more to your session
You get so much more data.
You can look, you can learn about literally how far you're hitting it, your ball speeds, your heights, etc., your consistency. You can play the games, you can play competitive mode, so actually mean that you're practicing just whacking balls into a field. You actually have goals, you have some level of pressure. So I think all that starts to, you know, the price there is somewhat justified. I think the fact that you said somewhere again, like Trafford, you pay more, but the facilities are nice, silly things, the toilets are clean, there's a nice cafe, it all goes towards that. But then at the same time, that's coming from a golfer's point of view. So you look at it that way. But if you're a non-golfer and you go into driving range with a friend because it's just something to do on an afternoon, the 120 balls at Trafford would be £15. Now, if there's two of you going with 120 balls, that could last you an hour quite comfortably, if not more. So let's just say an hour and a half. To go and catch up with a friend, have an hour and a half.
I'd probably say an hour is realistic.
Well, that's an hour. An hour for £15 to whack some balls, you know, it's not bad. What else would you do in that time? It's not bad value.
You know what? I reckon it's a little bit more similar to, and I've never experienced this, but like, let's say you're somewhat of a really, really avid 10-pin bowler.
Yeah.
And you loved going to 10-pin bowling. I bet there's places where it's a pretty much, you don't really get a lot of bang for your buck, but if you just want to go, bang for your buck, is that the right
That's
term?
That's correct.
You want to go bowling and it's just a classic bowling alley. It's not too fancy and the price reflects that.
Yeah.
But then you have bowling alleys now that are attracted to families and casuals and where it's lights, it's flashing and it's really nice service. You get great service coming to your bowling alley and the balls are, you know, I don't know. Do you get what I mean by that?
Absolutely.
Driving ranges now have become more leisure destinations more than they've just become now practice facilities.
Correct. And it's a bit like with a gym again, you can have some that are super health spa, some that are very much spit and sawdust. And a similar thing with driving ranges, you know, I won't name names, but I know of driving ranges a bit more basic, which is fine.
Spitting sawdust.
Huh?
I thought it was slipping sawdust.
What did I say then? What
is it, spitting sawdust?
Spit and sawdust. Got me overthinking now. There's ranges that are a bit more, you hit a ball into a field, there's just a bit of a target, the balls might not be quite as good, but it does a job. So I suppose it's whatever you want from a range. Long-winded answer to a question there. Last question then from James Edge. You have to ditch one. And why? When you pick the one, why? Ryder Cup, the Masters, or the Open?
Can't.
Ditch one. Can't. Ditch one now?
No, I couldn't. I couldn't. There's no way on my life I could ditch one of those. That's like saying, here's your three children, get rid of one of them. Like, they are literally They are what I live for in the world of golf. The Masters, the Open, and the Ryder Cup. What? That is literally the best. The only thing that, I look forward to all year round.
Wow.
You couldn't ditch one. Do not dare say the Masters, because I will really fall out with you. And you can't say the Masters now after slagging off the Ryder Cup for bloody 10 years.
Let me think of this now.
You can't get rid of one. That is an impossible question.
As a spec...
You can't get rid of one.
I'm going to say it's controversial.
I think I know which one you're going to say. I can't believe it. What the hell?
No, would I get rid of the Open? No.
Take that hat off your bloody head. As you sit there in your Open Royal Liverpool hat.
Now, let me think.
You've just said the Open.
But, right, hear me out.
You can't get rid of one. You cannot get rid of one.
Hear me out. If someone said that was the last Ryder Cup, it was all fun and games, we'll call it a draw, done. I could forget about it quite quickly. Every April, I'd be thinking, where's the Masters gone? I'm missing the Masters. Every July and summer, imagine if the Open was at the old course this year. Oh, I missed the Open. Da, da, da. Ryder Cup, yeah, it's gone. You're still in the Ryder Cup honeymoon phase. Give it another month. Cold October's evening. Early November.
I'll be flicking through videos on my phone.
No, you won't. I don't know, actually.
And you know what? All three of them, every single one of them, the Masters, the Open, the Ryder Cup, all three of them give me so much pleasure when a certain player wins.
Yeah.
And also give me so much displeasure when a certain player also wins or team wins. You know, I couldn't get rid of one of them. There's no chance.
What I would say, final thing on this then, as a viewing experience from this year, talking about a televised viewing, I enjoyed the Open the least.
I was at all three of them live, so I didn't really see them on TV.
Flex.
I didn't
know, but genuinely though.
If I was to now put them in different categories, as a viewing experience and one that I probably took the most pleasure in this year, genuinely, I think the Ryder Cup.
Well, as a viewing experience, if let's say next year or the next time they're all on, so 2 years' time, you can't go to any of them, right? You've got the Masters is on in the evening. You can sit down, kids are in bed, watch it. Same with the Ryder Cup, because it can obviously be in America. The Open is kind of on in the day. It's a bit, I don't know. The Open, I'll tell you one, the last thing I will say on this, because good question.
It's a great question.
The Open, for me, is the one that has more variance in a sense of how good or bad it could be. So the Ryder Cup is always going to be fun because you've got the singles on the Sunday, and obviously it can be won before that, but realistically it's always going to come down to singles. The Masters just feels like it's the Masters. The Open can have a bit of a not as exciting winner. I mean, this year, no offense, but Brian Harman obviously won it. It wasn't someone that I was massively rooting for. He won it by quite a lot. So it was quite early on. He'd won it. It felt like it's the one that for me can be the most vanilla. But it can be the most incredible.
It feels like, to me, the certainly the Masters, if Brian Harman was winning the Masters on the final day, for me, it's the golf course that has the most surprises that might pop up. Like, he could have been five shot lead with nine to play and still lost it. Where I feel like at the Open, that's very unlikely to happen because of the venues normally.
Mm. Last thing, and I would have gone Ryder Cup again now, but don't be wrong, I could see the passion, certainly from the Europeans, you know, about winning the Ryder Cup and what it meant to them and the whole story with Seve and the passion. And I don't for 1 second dispute that, because it was evident to see. Rory was so emotional, and Bob McIntyre, all the team, brilliant. But do you think within a week, within a month, that does just become kind of a memory, and they just go, like, whereas if you win the Open or you win the Masters, your life has changed forever. You are now a major champion.
I think from a player standpoint, definitely. That's not, I don't think that's the question.
No, I know. I've kind of gone off on a tangent now, though. I'm just kind of saying that in that moment, it feels like nothing's bigger than the Ryder Cup, which was great. And you could feel that, but it does feel like it very quickly has gone again, because it was that team element and the so individual athletes. Whereas when you win the Open or you win the Ryder Cup, I really feel like it's in history books forever. Like, whereas I'm not thinking of who won the Ryder Cup in 1982, but yeah, someone that's won a green jacket, I don't know. Maybe just overthinking it now.
I think what we've got in a really good spell right now in golf is you've got those, let's be honest, the three real standout events.
Yeah.
you know, there's no question that the Masters and the Open are the biggest majors. There's just no question marks around that. And then to sprinkle in the Ryder Cup every 2 years, I mean, it's just...
I think that's the good thing with it, every 2 years.
Yeah, I think every year, maybe not so. No, maybe not so. I also love the fact it's also then every 4 years in Europe and every 4 years in the US. Like, we're not going to see the Open back in, Ryder Cup back in Europe until 2027 when it's at Adair Manor. It's a long time away, that.
Last thing I thought of on this, I think the other day, it wouldn't happen logistically. I don't think it could handle it. Imagine the Ryder Cup at St Andrews.
Or the Ryder Cup at Augusta.
No,
they become the two venues.
I was thinking the other day about how good the Open was this time. That's St Andrews, the atmosphere, the city is just incredible. Imagine that Ryder Cup. Oh, anyway, we could talk all night.
I don't think it's got. I just don't think the St Andrews got the capacity to withstand that. I think it really stretched to the full capacity for the Open.
It did.
150th.
It did. Yep.
My last thing then.
Go on.
The Masters is at the Augusta every single year.
Yeah.
Okay. We'll never move. Shouldn't ever move. Perfect. I personally feel, and I think you're probably in the same boat, I think the Open should be at St Andrews every single year.
It would be good.
Imagine then if there was like two bespoke venues, one in US and one in Europe, that only ever hosted the Ryder Cup every 2 years. But it wasn't them two. It wasn't St Andrews, but it was like...
It was a home and away venue.
Like proper, proper bespoke.
For me personally, I would prefer that because I get to know the course more. I love this year watching at Marco Simone, knowing the course because I've been there. The infrastructure would become insane because they'd have every 4 years it'd be back at that same location.
Imagine how big the grandstands would be.
You could just almost keep them up. You could come play it as a spectator. They could just keep them up for the whole, I mean, I don't know if that would work logistically, but let's just say they could. You could come play it, all the grandstands are up. Yeah, there'd be so many memories. That would be sick. Where would you pick then? Where would you pick for Europe? Where would you pick for the US?
I mean, selfish reasons, I'd love it to be in the UK.
Yeah.
But I think they build a brand new venue.
Yes.
I don't even think it's a golf courses that exist right now.
It's just actual. That'll be sick.
And you know what also could be really, really cool? You have 18 holes. I mean, where's the rules? Why do you have to have 18 holes? You could have 27 holes that are completely different, and almost the captains get to choose on which you either start on 1, 10 or 19.
Right.
Hole, because that suits your team that day. And like, you know, for example, the there's always drama on all three swings of the holes, all three nines.
Big like windmills in between the holes, alligators. You'll use a putter.
Would be cool.
Blindfolded. No, it would. It would be good. Yeah.
Done.
I think you need a Guinness in you.
I don't. Not even drinking.
No. Just nothing at all, not even any water or any fluids. So. Do you look quite dehydrated, actually?
I feel it. Thanks for listening, everybody.
Yep.
Shall I see you?
On Friday? People are paying to come and watch us on Friday, and this is the garbage that we're delivering. Need to up our game, I think. Need to up your game before December. Sunshine. In the sunshine.
The showdown in the sun. Right. Thanks for listening, everybody. Stay tuned. Lots more to come. There is actually good stuff coming as well.
Yeah.
For 250 phenomenal hardcore fans coming on Friday. We can't wait to see you. And
I just thought that someone wasn't going, I'm coming. I'm not a hardcore fan. Don't class me as that. I just quite like the podcast occasionally. Next game, onto the hardcore. Big foam fingers. Team Rick, team guy, team.
Well, these are the, this is my audition for the firm.
Yeah, well, imagine though if there's actually Charnock Ultras against the Shield Ultras. Big massive fight at the podcast.
Jesus Christ. Thanks for listening, everybody. And we shall see you very soon.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news.
Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.